Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the October issue, where we'll cover ADHD Awareness Month, misinformation, stigma, and the media, and ADHD champions, surviving and thriving. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we've got quite a show for you tonight. ADHD meltdowns are not always about the obvious, and this is like the epicenter of what we like to do at Attention Talk Radio. We really like to pay attention to attention itself, and I think tonight's conversation is really going to illustrate that, be a very illuminating, and be something we all can learn. And with us and our guest host tonight is Caroline McGuire. Caroline McGuire is becoming like the duct tape of Attention Talk Radio. She's sometimes guest host, sometimes co-host, and sometimes guest. She's very versatile, so she gets the job done one way or another. So real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, November the 18th, year 2015, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just one announcement, or actually two announcements. One, check out ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing website that's designed to raise money for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. Also, check out Chad's One in a Million 15 campaign to raise awareness, money, and programming content for what they've kind of got going on. And another thing I'm going to just kind of have you guys tuned into, it's early in the stages, but in January, Linda Rogley and Terry Maitland are putting on an online, I think it's a week-long thing called Women Palooza, and they're going to have a whole bunch of guests come on to talk about women-related issues. I was very honored they called me up to come in and talk about ADHD, the impact of exercise and sports with regard to that, particularly we're going to see if we can kind of bend that a little bit as it relates to women issues. I don't have a lot of information, although if you Google ADHD and Women Palooza, all that stuff will come up. So be on the lookout for that, because we'll be talking much more about that in the time to come. Also, I don't know where it stands. It's very early, but I think that we're going to have a Totally ADD is doing a Christmas special on December the 9th. It's going to be kind of like a Christmas party, drop-in type thing. And they've reached out. I've RSVP'd for it, but I think we're going to have some experts and just people kind of coming, going, and asking questions. So we'll try to give you some details on that, because it'll be a lot of fun. So with that being said, let's get in the show tonight. Again, we got Caroline Duct Tape McGuire on our show. Caroline's she's a certified as a professional coach for children with ADHD and their families. She's got her ACCG at the ADD Coach Academy and her PCC at the International Coach Federation, and she got her master's at Lesley University. While at school, she wrote her thesis, which was entitled Why Will No One Play With Me?, a guidebook for parents to learn about addressing their ADHD kids' social issues. She's a former coach at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts, where she's the main coach for children and teens and co-led social skill groups and consulted with local schools. She lives with her husband and two children in Concord, Massachusetts, and her website is www.NE, which stands for New England Coaching.com. And so, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm happy to be known as Duct Tape. That's actually kind of fun. I think that it's a great title.
Well, you know, I was a little worried when I sprung that on you. Like, maybe it would be kind of insulting. But the same thing, you know, it's amazing what you can do with duct tape. I used to do a lot of backpacking with my older son in Boy Scouts, and we just took a roll, and you found yourself using that stuff when you didn't really know that you needed it. It was absolutely amazing. We duct tape kids' boots together with 10 miles to go to get them into the place. You know, we duct tape tents, we duct tape pots, food bags, sleeping bags. It's just amazing. So anyway, we're glad you're embracing the term.
I'm thrilled to be your duct tape, Jeff. It's great. I appreciate it. No, I love coming on the show, and this area is really something that I've spent a lot of time on, worked a lot with parents, so it's a great topic.
And so the focus everybody tonight is this really is a ubiquitous conversation, but we're going to talk mostly about kid examples. And the real point here is when you're dealing with a situation, so often we deal with appearance or we deal with the words that are coming out, but so often there's this thing that's almost invisible that's kind of behind it. And I really think that you need to be attuned to listening. Both Caroline and I are coaches, and we're trained to pay attention to what people are paying attention to. And just real quickly what that looks like, we've done some shows before people who talk a lot, and often those with ADHD, it's not that they're talking. You look at the function of what they're talking. Is it they're bouncing their logic off, or they're trying to organize their thoughts, or are they trying to literally think out loud? Because when you look at the function of what they're doing, it kind of gives you some insight. And so tonight we're going to go through some examples of what it looks like to pause and pay attention to maybe what's really kind of going on. And I want to begin with a story that's really near and dear to my heart. If you listen to me for a while, I swam in college nationally and internationally, and Caroline's daughter is becoming the budding swimmer. And you have a story about a situation where your daughter Lucy was melting down about some other girl, but there was this thing in the background which was really driving it. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So Lucy is a swimmer who aspires to be Jeff Copper. And she's a great kid, and she just turned 7, and she has ADHD. And, you know, it really is an example of why, even if you're a professional, you don't always see things. Because, you know, she was great this summer. She loved swim. It was her thing. And I love swim. And if anybody's looking for a way to get your kids to sleep at night, if they go to camp all day and they swim all afternoon, they sleep. So I'm a fan. But this fall, she moved from the 6th level to the age 7s. And, you know, there's some maturity stuff. And she became kind of obsessed with this one girl who she claimed was bumping into her. And she was constantly melting down before practice, after practice, on the way to practice. And, you know, all mothers know this feeling where you think, I'm kind of moving heaven and earth here to make this happen. Why are we having so many problems? But I made the mistake that we often make, which is I didn't really ask her about it. I made assumptions. I assumed it was sort of jealousy of this other girl or irritability or second grade is too hard. And there was a lot of noise around the swim. And so finally one day I said to her, you know, what is going on here, Luce? You're kind of like, you know, constantly having these episodes. And she told me that, you know, basically her old swim coach left. She went to a fabulous program and is going to coach college teams. But I get it. Little kids don't understand. And she has this very, very nice man as her new swim coach. But he's got this booming voice, and it, like, resonates off the walls of the pool. And he was constantly telling her she was going to be DQ'd. And so she had this image when I probed with her and I asked an open question. I think I said something really uneloquent, like, what's going on, you know? And she said, you know, she had this image that she was going to be kicked off the team, that whatever he kept talking about with this DQ, she really thought he was going to, like, come pull her out of the water and you know, like, take her out of a race. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, would I ever let anyone do that to you? That's mm-hmm. terrible. But she really had this whole story in her head, and she knew that she was in a new level and she was struggling. And I knew she was kind of emotionally spiraling, But it became like this whole backstory that I had no idea was going on. And I told you about it, Jeff, and I said, gosh, it reminds me of what my training has taught me, and I often forget with my own kid, a meltdown is never just a meltdown. And,
it's always about something
else. And it
else.
Was just a lesson. It's often it's about something else. The meltdown is really underlying upset that the kid can't express well enough or doesn't have a way to process emotionally. Maybe it's big for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they melt down. It's like their system is sort of overloaded.
So just
and,
a few things.
And that's what it was about.
In swimming, just like most sports, there's age group levels. So you have the 5 and 6, which is kind of under 6, and then you have the 7 and 8, which is under 8, or the 8 and 9. And swimming, it's in 2 years age brackets. And when you jump to the next level, you might be winning, and all of a sudden you're struggling because you're developmentally you're competing against people sometimes that are like, you know, 15 or 20% ahead of you physically just because of age, and it can be a little bit of a challenge. And by the way, DQ is being disqualified. And what I'm hearing is that she was having these meltdowns over these girls, but what was really going on was the anxiety as a result of the coach talking about DQing her as if he was going to pull her out of the pool, which wasn't the case, because if I recall correctly, she was having some difficulty diving. Is that right?
Yeah, because her beloved swim coach left, who was a really nice gal, she hadn't really learned to dive. So when she dives, she's making all these mistakes, which, you know, I don't care, and I actually don't even think the swim leader guy cares, but she's embarrassed by it, too. This is part of it, is that he was having her dive not from the block, which is the big sort of stand-up place where people go into the pool. He had her dive from the side of the pool because she didn't really know how to dive, and she was mortified. So that was something else that came out during this drama, was that this was just so embarrassing, and therefore she was convinced she was sort of less than the other swimmers.
What I like about the story is there's this backstory. I love that phrase. That's going to show up on social media somewhere after this. Is that there was this backstory that was kind of going on. And if you really sat there and kind of dwelled on the meltdown with regard to girl, which was really kind of a front. It was an excuse and kind of whatever. The backstory was really kind of going on was this misunderstanding about swimming, the diving, in the DQ. And if you addressed that head on and maybe worked with her a little bit, then the issues with the girl would really melt away. Whereas I like to say is if you're focused on the girl, you're really messing with the symptoms. You're not really diagnosing the problem in that situation, in which case it would perpetuate itself.
Right. Exactly. It was not ending because we hadn't dealt with the underlying issue, which was the diving, the swimming, the guy with the booming voice, the fact that the lady had gone. Like, there were so many issues.
And so once you figure that out, what did you do at that point in time to kind of work with that?
So we had a long talk, and we had a snack together, and she was remarkably calm once she got all the story out. And I said to her, you know what? I'm sorry that you've been feeling this way. I explained no one is going to pull you out of any pool, and no one is mad at you. You know, your teacher left. We didn't teach you how to dive properly, and, you know, we're going to get you help. And I went and I got her swim lessons with a great lady. And once she started having that support, she's like blossoming now, and the tantrums have ended, and she's just a happy kid again. Because now when the guy's booming voice comes across, she knows that people are there to support her, and I've been really encouraging her to express herself rather than, you know, doing the meltdowns and the, you know, the throwing of things and the things that ADHD kids do.
What I really like about your story is how you had that conversation, and often those with ADHD, they have a feeling, and if you can get them to express it, in other words, get the thoughts outside of their head. I've done a lot of other stuff on working memory and how difficult it is to kind of assimilate that stuff, and having the conversation to articulate that stuff sometimes can be really calming in the company of somebody else. So Caroline, we need to run to a break real quick, and we'll come back and we'll share some other stories and what to do about them. But real quickly, everybody, before we go, learn more about Caroline by going to her website at NE, that stands for New England, coaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here to talk about ADHD meltdowns. They're not always about the obvious. Matter of fact, there's a backstory there. And before the break, we talked about a personal example that Caroline dealt with her daughter. And the next example I want to kind of talk about, this one's real near and dear to my heart. I was we both were coming off of the 2015 CHAD conference, which was down in the Big Easy in New Orleans, of which we were both presenting. And I was doing a little bit of stuff at the end on boredom, which is one of my, I guess, becoming one of my loves in terms of conversations right now. And you tell a story of this kid that, you know, he's calmly sitting in class, and before you know it, he's in the principal's office after having mooned everybody. Can you just tell us about that story? We'll talk about the backstory on this one.
Sir, I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. So I had a kid. He was a great kid, and he had a really good, understanding mom who was also ADHD, and they were a great team and fun to work with. And one day they walked in my office, and you could just tell, like, the vibe as they even entered from the hallway was just fury on the part of the mother. And they walked in, and the mother sort of said, you know, why don't you tell Caroline what's going on? And those are always words that signify to me that something big has happened. And, you know, I started talking to the kid, and I used the open questions, and I sort of said, hey, what's going on? And he told me that, you know, he was in class, and he was just so bored. And there's something called agitated boredom. And the agitated boredom is this concept that when you're bored, your entire body develops a feeling, and you're actually jittery. And I don't know if any of our listeners have ever felt that way, but I sure have. And so he told me basically that he just knew he was bored, and he really didn't connect with the body feelings yet, but he described some things, and then he said he got this idea in his head and decided to moon the class because he knew if he mooned the class, he would be sent to the principal's office. And he just kind of did it, you know. And obviously, not a great choice. But what came out of it was I started asking him about how he felt before. And, you know, we really realized that he had experienced this agitated boredom, that his entire body had felt like he was going to jump out of his skin. And what was good about it, if we can look at the positives, was that he then began to be able to really discuss with me these body signals. And it was also, you know, just as a coach, a turning point for me where I really realized that, you know, everybody has these body signals. And if you can, you know, talk to kids and adults and ask them, what do you feel like when? And I actually have a little tool I use where I ask people to sort of, you know, circle little kids, you know, circle where you feel things, what do you feel? And, you know, with this kid, it really just became obvious that his sort of tell when he was about to do something super impulsive was to get this agitated boredom and this jitteriness, which now we know more about, you know, and they've actually written articles about it scientifically.
Yep. So what I like about this is often what you'll take a look at is, hey, kind of like the example before is the kid's in the office and he mooned everybody, and you begin to deal with that behavior there as opposed to getting to the underlying saying, what's kind of going on? Well, actually, I'm kind of bored. And by the way, there's apathetic boredom and agitated. And apathetic is more internal stimulation, and agitated is the lack of external stimulation. And those with ADHD are more prone to it. And it's the physical discomfort where one is motivated to escape the plight. And in this situation, he was so bored to escape that he got up and mooned the class to kind of get the rush before he knows he's in trouble. And what I like about this particular example is you're asking the questions and you begin to realize that, you know, it was about boredom. He began to witness, if you will, that physical discomfort that was kind of coming on, which led to it, that took him there, which the mind will lie, the body doesn't, and you begin to have this conversation with these kids and begin to notice their body to see it kind of coming on so that they can begin to self-regulate. We did a show a couple weeks ago with Autumn Zintani of Sesame Street, and they do a lot of stuff on self-regulation by helping kids identify feelings and feel the body, and when that happens, they begin to belly breathe and do some other stuff to down-regulate their emotions, which is really kind of what we're describing here. So again, just another great example of the meltdown or the problem. There's always a backstory to what's going on, and I think you illustrate the point is don't just deal with the appearance. Ask the questions to find out kind of what's behind it, and then you can use that to your advantage. So I think that's a great example. You got another example too of a situation where a kid liked a lot of drama. And the mother thought that he really wanted attention, but at the end of the day, there was really a reading problem that was behind that. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. You know, that's the thing, Jeff. I would encourage parents and educators, you know, it's so easy for us to just go after the behavior. And the behavior in this case was, and punish or try to correct, but to look at the underlying thing. The behavior was that they would be on the playground or in an area of high interest, and he would melt down when they went to leave. And the mother thought, okay, this is about shifting. This is about you like drama. And she really thought that he was kind of acting a little bratty and that he really kind of liked this attention because he would get a lot of attention. And I just felt like, well, I need to ask the questions, right? So he and I would sit and we would chat and he would tell me that, you know, he really was athletic and he really liked being at the playground or being out. And when he went home to do homework, he really felt like he wasn't good at it. And when we began to talk to him, we realized it wasn't just these playground meltdowns, right? That there was a pattern of meltdowns, and they all kind of circled around reading and doing this work. And, you know, there was pencil throwing and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I talked to him, and we talked to the school, and after a little while, it just became really obvious that he had a reading problem, and he became tested. They had him tested, and he did, and he had a reading problem, and an underlying reading learning disability, and that was what was driving it. But, you know, he was young, and he couldn't really verbalize, look, I feel like I stink at reading, so I don't want to go do it because it makes me feel bad. He would just melt down. And so it's like a meltdown often has this underlying story.
Again, everybody, we are talking about the meltdown and the backstory, the underlying story. We've got a couple of examples, and I think that beautifully illustrates really kind of what we're talking about, Caroline. I want to go to the break. When we come back, I want to do a similar story about that I encountered. It's really kind of, metaphorically, it's the same thing, but it's a completely different setting, and I think that you guys kind of might find some interest in this. So before we go, real quickly, learn more about Caroline and what she's doing at NE, which stands for NewEnglandCoaching.com, and with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a great conversation with Caroline McGuire. Before the break, she was talking about a kid who had a lot of meltdowns and drama. And the backstory was there was some reading problems. And Caroline, back in, I think it was 2008, I was at the CHAD conference in Cleveland, and there was an educator, principal at the time, I don't recall his name, I really should go back in the archives and dig it up, but he was telling the story of this kid who one day, for whatever reason, he said it was a Wednesday, the kid was in gym class, and he broke his glasses, and he got done, and it just turns out that it was his day to read in front of the class. And because he didn't have his glasses, he couldn't read, and so they got him out of it. And I don't know what the rotation of it was, but, like, for whatever reason, let's say once a month or every 3 weeks, that he was due to stand up in front of the class. And systematically, it just seems for several months that he broke his glasses on a regular basis on that particular day. And the parent in this specific situation was, or the principal was telling us about how the parent had brought him in and said this kid was unmotivated, and that there were some issues with regard to what was going on. It was interesting because he cited that, you know, I actually think your kid is very, very motivated. He was very motivated to break his glasses because what the principal knew is the kid had ADHD and dyslexia, and I think somehow it come out between the beginning of the story and when he was in there is the kid was very motivated to find a way to break his glasses to get out of reading in front of everybody. And so the father was saying this kid's not really, really, really motivated. That was the appearance to him. But the backstory was the kid was actually very, very motivated, even to the negativity of his father, to escape not having to stand up in front of reading everybody. And my point really here is I think it's a really good illustration, number one, of what really motivation is. Motivation is not what you want somebody to do, but what they actually do. But the other side of it is that had he just focused on that behavior, he really would have never addressed the issue, and that was the kid was embarrassed or humiliated because he had struggled with some of that stuff. So your comments and thoughts on that, because, again, if you're dealing with these situations that aren't necessarily there, I think you have to look at the backstory really to address the problem to move forward with it.
Yeah, and the great thing about that story, too, is that we as parents and educators sometimes have to pause and pay attention to the pattern because, you know, every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, every time the kid has to read, every time the kid breaks his glasses, sometimes the event seems to be, you know, nothing to do with anything. But often if there's some big behavior happening, right, rather than going right to the kid is bad or they're not trying or they're not motivated, if we flip it a little bit and we start looking at what's going on behind this and we ask the questions, what I've found fascinating over the years is that because, you know, I'm a third party, or even with my own daughter, I ask the questions and you do get answers. Kids tell you what's going on, or they at least can tell you what they're feeling, and then they can begin to unwind it a little bit. You know, sometimes they're not exactly sure, but they know what they experienced before the meltdown, for instance, and
yep.
and you can start to be a detective.
And I think that the key today, I think we really wanted to highlight the meltdowns and looking behind the story, because what's obvious, or as I like to say, if the obvious solution isn't working, then you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And I think if in these situations everybody addressed what appeared to be kind of going on, what's going on, you're dealing with the symptoms, you're not really resolving the problem. So you get Lucy in to work on some diving stuff, and she understands what's going on, and then the meltdowns go away. The kid begins to understand what the feeling is like when that agitated boredom is kind of coming on, and he can pause and kind of get himself out of the situation. The child who's having a reading problem, if you can go in and kind of help him with some of that stuff, it really kind of moves forward. So we're getting to that. What I really want to emphasize to parents is, if this was a simple thing, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I think all too often everybody says, can I read the book and give me the top 10 solutions to this? And pausing and stopping and paying attention to what's going on and trying to look past stuff requires a certain amount of effort. But I think that in the long run, you begin to think about banging your head against the wall or putting the effort into trying to noticing what's really going on. If you really did a cost-benefit analysis, putting the effort in right now to do this really makes a lot of sense as opposed to dealing with it long-term. So those are my thoughts on that. Caroline, you want to share what you think?
Well, absolutely, because, you know, I was actually talking to someone at the CHAD conference about this. You know, if every day your kid misses the bus, if every day something happens, if every day you have a bad day because the kid is melting down at swim practice or you're leaving the playground and it's a nightmare, you're already spending so much time. And, you know, we all know it's very draining. So if we can pause and start asking those questions and start talking to the kid, you know, often you can find the answer, but you have to pay attention to what's going on. And you know, it's not an easy thing, especially when you're in a highly emotionally charged situation. But the more we can sort of be a detective and look for what's going on and ask the kid what it is, rather than sort of just going right to the punishment or right to the, you know, what we as adults think is the verdict, right? Because in all these cases and a million more that I've experienced and people I talk to at CHAD about, you know, the kid misses the bus every day, you know, it's possible a kid is missing the bus every day because they do not want to go to school. Right? It's possible it's executive function and it's all these other things that go on for our kids. But it's also possible that this is not a place this kid wants to be, like your kid with the glasses. So, you know, you never know. And,
yep,
and
yep.
You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Yep. Well, you know, while you were saying that, I just what flashed in my head, and I heard what you're saying kind of, but I couldn't get this out of my mind, is when you're talking about, you know, getting to the bus late, we've done some interviews with Dr. David now in the past. How exactly did you do that, or how exactly did you arrive late, which is really a filter where you begin to ask the question, like, what's your recipe for always doing it? It can be a really illuminating exercise. And the reason I'm saying that is we got back from New Orleans, and I actually sat into one of Caroline's presentations, and she's got an interesting tool, and that's the five whys. And Caroline, I want to do a show on this at some point in time, is when something's going on, you go, well, why? Like, what's going on? And you keep asking why, and sometimes that exercise will actually take you back to find out what the backstory is. Like, what's going on, or why, or how exactly does this take? These are diagnostic tools and ways of asking questions to help you kind of pause and kind of get to what's going on. And so I think the key tonight really is to illuminate parents, is that when you're having these difficulties and your reaction, the solution is not working, then you're probably paying attention to the wrong thing, and to pause and begin to say, I wonder what the backstory is.
Exactly. I think that, you know, any time you can pause and you can ask the kid what's going on for them, you're going to get answers. And even if the answer is, I dislike you, you're really rigid and you make me do this horrible homework, at least then you know what's going on. But I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, I get an answer that I never expected in a million years. So
that's just coaching.
I think it's like
it's amazing when you ask people what's going on. It's the most amazing thing about what we do, Caroline, is when you're sitting there and you're opening your mind and you ask a question, all of a sudden your client comes up with some brilliant answer that you never thought of before, and you go, wow, I could have had a V8. it's really kind of so profound, because it is amazing what they say. There is one caveat that I would like to put in there is, in my experience, there are some, just in general, but also those with ADHD, when you sit down and start asking the questions, the articulating some of that stuff can be very difficult. And again, it was illuminating when we did our interview with Sesame Street, because I was doing my homework. And a lot of what Sesame Street does is they model stuff and they try to help kids identify feelings in their body and give them language in order to kind of connect those two. Because in the absence of being able to have the language to identify something, they just have a feeling and they can't articulate it. And there's some kids out there, I think, that are very aware that they're good at articulating, but there's another crowd that struggle with that. And when you ask the questions, you have to be patient for a period of time and kind of help them a little bit, because articulating, it's not the easiest, but if you're patient over a long period of time, you're doing two things. You get to the backstory, number one. Number two is you'll actually help the child begin to learn how to express themselves in a positive way in a safe environment to kind of help them move forward. So that's been my experience. Anything you want to comment on that, Caroline?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are kids who, because they're young or because of their verbal abilities, that will not be able to answer that question. That's an excellent point, Jeff. And that's where the Sesame Street model and the model that we use in terms of helping kids look at their body and their body signals, and then we try to help them, you know, over time, identify feelings and sort of name it to tame it, that you name those feelings, and that by naming those feelings, you're able to process them and they're less potent. But there are kids, absolutely, who, because of their language, they don't really, you know, they're not able to answer those questions. But I still think that doing the belly breathing, doing the identification of what's going on for them, can help them build that toolkit over time. And in the meantime, you as a parent or an educator are a little bit of a detective. You're trying to look at those patterns of, like, every time this happens, they melt down. And that can be a way to kind of figure out what are the systemic causes.
You just said something that was huge that I really think really summarized this show: name it to tame it.
Mm-hmm.
You identify what's going on, and you can begin to tame what's going on in that world. So, hey, it's boredom, we can tame it. Hey, it's this DQ emotional stuff, we can kind of tame it. Wonderfully said. I'm very impressed. So with that, we have to wrap up the show because we have to end it on a great note. And we can kind of come back another time and kind of expand upon it. So, Caroline, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on to the show. And everybody, to learn more about her, go to necoaching.com. And with that, Caroline, thanks so much.
No problem.
Everybody, hope you enjoy this. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Next week is Thanksgiving in the United States, and we have a very interesting show on meds. It's absolutely not what you think it's going to be. It's not about stimulant medication, so check it out. www.attentiontalkradio.com. Take care, everybody.